I'm not sure I would be bold enough to tell you that you have been given much and much is expected of you. But we're going to hear the very words of the Lord because Jesus is the one who said that. Please read with me in Luke 12, verses 41 through 48. Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants and to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at the hour he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Well, I've spoken to you before about it. My red letter edition tells me that those are the very words of Jesus. Matthew didn't have a tape recorder, or Luke didn't either, but the Holy Spirit enabled him to tell us exactly what Jesus said. Some biblical texts point us quickly and immediately to the summons to seek justice for the poor. The story of the Good Samaritan, for example, or the parable of the sheep and goats in Matthew 25, or Jesus' instructions to the rich young ruler. These come quickly to mind. But in fact, the whole of Scripture, sometimes directly and sometimes less directly and even implicitly, announces God's deep and abiding concern for the poor. Every Scripture reading and every sermon and all our worship should be forming us as people who are concerned, who love justice as God loves justice, and who serve others in imitation of Jesus. That is why our church makes a point to highlight hunger and poverty each year. I believe before I was ordained, I preached at least 10 world hunger sermons when I was exhorting. And then I'm pretty sure I've preached it every year since. So I've been ordained now over 10 years. I say that to help you see we should be careful to not turn world hunger into an occasional project. Oh, it's once a year. It's time. It's time to think about world hunger. I hope that we can not just go on with the rest of our lives after World Hunger Sunday ends. Just as economic justice is woven throughout the fabric of Scripture from beginning to end, so tightly and thoroughly must it be woven into the fabric of our lives if we are to remain biblical and be people of the good book. This becomes especially necessary in a global economy that intertwines our economic decisions and practices with those of people around the world and leaves the poor ever more exposed and vulnerable. Today, we are going to focus our attention on a line of thought that we find in this text, especially in verse 48. This section of Luke is Jesus' teachings about readiness for the coming day of the Lord. I don't think all of it should be taken literally. It doesn't mean some people will be beaten if they don't do the proper thing. He's making a very important point about doing the right thing. We have all of this kind of comes to a head. His disciples are called to be wise managers of all that God entrusts to us. And then Jesus concludes, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. This morning, let's consider this teaching in three responsibilities we have to the poor. These levels correspond to three ways of thinking about poverty and hunger. A common way to think about poverty is as material deprivation. People are poor because they don't have the stuff that they need. Not enough food, not enough money, not enough clothing, not enough housing. When people lack this stuff, as it were, sometimes the right thing to do is to give stuff. When a homeless shelter says, back in the States, not here, the first snowfall is coming and our shelves are empty, good citizens often rise up and buy mittens and clothes and coats and hats and groceries for the homeless shelter. When a soup kitchen calls for help, church members often roll up their sleeves and get into the kitchen to serve meals. We have some of our young people are helping out with a project just like that here on island, and I appreciate their doing that. Much more dramatically, when an earthquake strikes, like several years ago in Haiti, the nations of the earth turn their pockets inside out, not least of all Christian Reformed people. I had remembered that World Renew collected $7 million from the Christian Reformed Church for that Haiti relief. And I heard more recently that the tragedies of this year, Hurricane Michael and the California fires, have set new records of generosity from the Christian Reformed Church. And World Renew also goes to other donors and corporations, corporate sponsors and things like that, to raise a lot of money that is needed for these disasters. To whom much is given, much is required. I believe we are aware that we live blessed lives of abundance in the USA and even in Guam, USA. This is reflected in the generous gifts received by World Renew and other, and I know people give to other agencies as well. The Salvation Army has been preeminent in helping with our local disasters in nearby Saipan. I have not heard if World Renew is going to send a team again. They did for Typhoon Sotolore, and I know that the famous World Renew green shirts, the disaster response folks always wear green shirts, and they were noticed and appreciated very much in Saipan. Also, this is reflected in how we spend our time. Many members of the CRCNA volunteer for World Renew disaster response services and World Hunger teams, work teams, other opportunities. If you have done this, God bless you for your help. If you become able to do it, God bless you to do that when it comes. Many years ago, I said I've been preaching on world hunger for a lot of years. The theme once was, give a man a fish and he eats for a day. But there's more. It turns out poverty and hunger are usually not just a lack of stuff, not just a lack of a meal or a fish, but it often results from the lack of skill and education and training that prevent people from acquiring what they need. Despite the generosity of donors and donor nations, hunger and poverty remain serious issues both in the U.S. and around the world. And the need is not just to give a fish. Maybe you know the rest of the saying, teach a man to fish and he can eat for a lifetime. Then there's more to that saying that says, give a man a place at the stream. Sometimes other situations prevent him from going down to the stream to catch a fish to feed his family. The second wave of responsibilities and organizations like World Renew have recognized and responded to is to provide training and support to help increase the capacity of individuals and communities to provide for themselves. That's not just giving them a fish, but teaching them to fish. But not just fish, right? World Renew began as a relief agency a little over 60 years ago, but they quickly realized already in the early years the need for capacity building, for empowering people and community development. They began training people in literacy and kitchen gardens and crop diversity and water harvesting and immunizations and AIDS prevention, training leaders and much, much more. And all of that, as I mentioned earlier, is beginning to make a difference. From those to whom much is given, much will be demanded. So people with specialized know-how, research tools and libraries and teaching abilities, academic degrees and technical skills, all of these have fanned out all across the world. They have gone for World Renew to Kenya and Honduras and Cuba, inner city schools in the U.S., northern communities in Asia. Praise God, all of that makes a difference. The number of children under age 5 who die from hunger and preventable illness is down from 40,000 per year to less than 30,000 per year. Now that's a pretty good size improvement, but still 30,000 children are dying from hunger. Far too many, even though it's good improvement. Sometime back, child mortality rates in Bangladesh became a fraction of what they had been just 30 years earlier, and maternal health has also improved. A major factor in fighting and overcoming poverty is education, and results of education are very clear. Better education leads to smaller families, better use of resources, fatter babies in a good way, and happier children. From those to whom much is given, much will be demanded. Whether you're a young person making plans for a career, or a baby boomer about to retire, or anywhere between, you are a gifted person. You have skills, experience, and education you could share with others. Why not think about spending some time with World Renew or an agency more local? Learning about community development, maybe finding a way you can give back some of what you've received. All very optimistic, right? But here's a hard reality. In spite of many good news stories, we have a terribly long way to go in terms of eradicating poverty and hunger. I personally believe it is possible with God's help. The incremental gains made by grassroots community development can be and often is undone quickly with a civil war. Some good friends of ours from our former church, they have a daughter, a granddaughter, who is a missionary in Liberia, and they visited there. And especially the grandfather of the mission girl said, "You know what amazed me the most? Every light pole on every street has bullet holes in it." The Civil War was devastating to many years of progress that had been made in Liberia before that. Civil war, unfair trade practices can have an effect, rising food and fuel prices, natural disasters, we've seen more than our share of those. Hunger and poverty are not just simply a lack of stuff or just a lack of education and skill. Maybe something else is missing. Teaching someone to fish, as important as that may be, won't do much good, as I said, if they have no access to the stream or their fishing rod is stolen, or if the fish ponds have been polluted by toxic waste from industry. The truth is, many people in poor communities are excellent fishers and farmers and industrious and motivated and skilled, but they remain poor because of global trade policies, unfair economic systems, and political complexities that often do not work for their well-being. I'm no expert, but I know a bit about the globalized world economy. It is controlled by the rich and powerful and doesn't always seem to concern itself with the poor. Their needs are not really on the table when discussions are made about oil prices or food prices or trade policies. Strategic decisions about aid distribution usually are more about self-interest, foreign policies, than the needs of hungry children. It would be great if we could just generously donate ourselves out of the conundrum of global disparities, or educate our way out of it. But the problem is deeper. Making poverty a history, a thing of the past, requires that we diligently build better structures and systems, and we design and practice just policies that serve people in their needs. Boy, Pastor Tom's asking a lot of us this morning. Well, I wonder the same as you. How can you and I, folks with busy lives and limited resources, how can we begin to address these issues when even the experts are confused by them? Rather than be overwhelmed, we need to remember Jesus' words, "To whom much is given, much is required." So, what have we been given? In addition to our own personal wealth and our time, we have also been given a voice with which to speak out for the poor. We have been given the gift of democracy that allows us to speak truth to power. We have the freedom to raise awareness about issues. We could bring the collective voice of the church into the public square to advocate on behalf of the poor. We have been given well-funded schools and colleges where we may provide our youth with a global conscience and good education. We have the means to research where our food and clothes come from, and we have powers as consumers to practice frugality and justice in our purchasing habits. In the year 2000, 189 world leaders agreed to the Millennium Development Goals. They are 8 distinct, measurable, achievable goals. Those goals are to reduce by 50% the number of people living in extreme poverty. The goals include achieving universal education, reducing child mortality, improving the lives of women and maternal health, decreasing the impact of HIV and AIDS. Canada and the United States pledged 3 things especially: to untie development aid and raise our levels of giving to 0.7% of our GDP, to better promote trade practices, and to reduce debt. That doesn't sound like much, does it? 0.7% of GDP, except that GDP is huge. Bad news, we're not living up to our commitments as a nation. In the mid-1970s, Canada was giving 0.5% of GDP, and recently, their aid levels are now lower than they were in 2000, just 0.3%. Their latest budget wants to freeze it at that point. Similarly, in the U.S., our 1970s aid level was around 0.26%. That's huge. In 2008, the official development aid was only 0.18%. One-third less. Now, this doesn't actually reflect the generosity of North Americans, and certainly does not reflect the pattern of contributions in the Christian Reformed Church. We have been given a voice. We should speak. A global ecumenical fellowship of Christians has come together to form what's called the MICA Network. World Renew is a member organization. The purpose is to help Christians around the world, and you and me, be knowledgeable and effective advocates for the poor. The MICA Network and the MICA Challenge campaigns are a way Christian communities can encourage our leaders to keep the promises they have made. Let's add our voice when we have a chance to that growing choir that says, "Let justice roll down like water and righteousness like a never-ending stream." That choir is beginning to span the globe, singing in many voices and dialects. Will you join in? The campaign is growing and needs our support. Are you in? By the way, I don't know if I put the address on there, but you can find out more than you ever wanted to know at worldrenew.net/worldhunger. And then one more thing. David Corton, I never met him, he's a development expert who has long thought hard and long about poverty. He has written about his quest for change and the way the world works. At one point he says, "Yes, we need more just systems, but we won't get those until we have more just people. We won't get what we won't get those until we get a better reality view, a better story. That's what we need, he says. In his book, The Great Turning, he examines all kinds of possible stories, looking for the ones that will make a difference. He challenges us, the church, to help narrate a new and better story. You see, to whom much is given, much will be demanded. We have been given a better story, the story of God, the God of heaven, the God to whom all heaven and earth belongs, to who upholds the world in abundance, who causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine and crops to grow. He gives seed to the sower and food to the eater. God, who has himself made the great turning in the gift of Jesus Christ, taught the way of righteousness and peace, whose restorative justice reconciles us to him and to each other, whose heart turns toward the poor, not just in compassion, but in just actions and promises to provide for all. This is the story that can deliver us, and indeed the world, from the clutches of false stories, ideologies of power, ideologies of violence, ideologies of profit and consumption that distort the global marketplace. This is the story, ours is the story, of the one true God, a story that sets us free from all the lesser gods who fail us. To whom much is given. The greatest gift we've been given is the gospel. So let us believe it with all our heart, discover the boundless implications, and share its treasures and passion with passion and conviction. You see, the gospel is itself quite simple and totally, entirely true. But we know it is not easy to live out the gospel where we work and play and live. To whom much is given, much will be demanded. Let me emphasize that this is not about guilt. I am not accusing anyone or saying you could and should do better. I'm not pointing any accusing fingers. If it were in my power, I would want us all to do the very best we can. And if that means we find room for improvement, great. I pray that all of us would do our best at everything God's called us to. And since we have so freely and abundantly received, I pray that we will freely and generously share with others who are in need. Will you join in this mission? Are you in? I pray that you'll be in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It kind of makes us feel a little uncomfortable when Jesus said, to whom much is given, much will be demanded. Because we've been given much, and we haven't been all that great at returning and sharing. But Lord, we thank you that you give us the opportunities. We ask that you'll help us to make the most of opportunities to share some, much of what we've been given. Lord, we ask that you'll help us to support good causes like World Hunger and the Salvation Army and others who are helping relieve difficulties and problems and hunger and helping restore the local neighboring islands from the storm. Lord, we ask that you'll help us to notice what we can do and to do it. Thank you that you give us so much. Thank you that you give us opportunities to share. We thank you for all the blessings you're always giving us. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.